Good morning. So happy to see you on this beautiful Christmas Sunday morning. And you have heard the forecast that it might rain on Christmas Day, which makes me happy, believe it or not. Growing up in the Seoul, Korea, and with the same altitude like Boston, I enjoyed the four seasons, distinct four seasons in Korea, and then while I was there in New England, I enjoyed the winter there. And being cold is like makes me feel that it's Christmas. So I pray that as we celebrate Christmas together, we will have a special visit from our Lord Jesus, who come and touch our hearts and our lives and fill us with His presence. A lady had a circle of friends for whom she really wanted to buy Christmas present. Time slipped away and it was so busy at work for her, she just wasn't able to get to the store to purchase those gifts. Time was running out. So now, too many days before Christmas, she decided to give up on the gift idea and just buy everybody the same beautiful Christmas card. She went to the local gift store and hurriedly went through the now picked over stack of cards and found a box of 50, just exactly what she wanted. She didn't take time to read the message. She just noticed a beautiful cover on it, and there was gold around it and a floral appearance on the front of the card. And she thought, that's perfect. So she signed all of them with all my love. As New Year's came and she had time to go back two or three cards she didn't send from that stack, she was shocked to read the message inside. It said in a little rhyme, "This Christmas card is just to say a little gift is on the way." So she had to do the Christmas shopping, I'm sure. In the United States, November and December accounts for about 20% of total retail sales, and Christmas sales constitute a significant source of revenue for businesses. Why do so many sales go on during Christmas? One principal move behind the sale is people buying gifts. People want to give and expect to receive gifts over Christmas. The gifts people buy are usually limited to commodities, but the goodwill and loving hearts behind gifts are priceless and cannot be purchased with money. There is an amazingly precious gift people cannot put a monetary value on. It is not only the best that anyone in human history has ever given, but it touches the hearts of the recipients so profoundly that whoever received the gift is completely changed forever. What is that gift? Of course, Jesus Christ, the Emmanuel. God came down to this humble earth to be with us on Christmas. We'll reflect on how we experience Emmanuel despite the circumstances this morning. Isaiah 9 prophesied the coming Messiah. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He will be called the Prince of Peace. This prophecy agrees with the praises of the heavenly host after the Messiah's birth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. The question is, did the people on the first Christmas have peace? Joseph was in a dilemma. He was faithful to the law of Moses, which did not allow an improper pregnancy. but he did not want Mary to be scrutinized by the public, for Mary would be put to shame and humiliation. So the best option was to break the engagement quietly. The news of Christmas to King Herod and the king's official was alarming. Herod made sure of eradicating a potential threat to his throne by killing all the boys under 2 years of age in and around Bethlehem. How about the mother of the Messiah? Hearing the annunciation of the angel Gabriel, Mary was greatly troubled, the Gospel of Luke says. The Message translation says, she was thoroughly shaken. The Greek text used the word diétrictê, which means deeply or entirely troubled. There are several other Greek words to describe the condition of heart, but the diétrictê describes the worst condition. Imagine Mary's reaction. The news shocked her so much that even her body was probably shaking. It made her fearful for her life. The news of Emmanuel was not peaceful at all, but very troubling because they weren't simply ready to receive the Messiah. Let's look into Mary's reaction to the Annunciation in more detail. The ancient Jewish society was governed by traditions and teachings. They had stringent customs and rules in place that did not tolerate pregnancy before marriage, not to mention an illegitimate pregnancy with someone other than her fiancé. Mary, being a very traditional girl, was totally committed to the engagement with a future husband-to-be and had absolutely no consideration for having a baby until she had a visit with the angel. Joseph was a good man, but he was considering to break the engagement with Mary. Mary would become devastated by having to let go of Joseph. A graver consequence is the reaction from her community. Moses' law stipulated it as a serious crime that should not be tolerated and pronounced to those who committed the crime specific punishment. And we see a glimpse of it when the Pharisees brought to Jesus a woman caught in the act of committing adultery. They said, "In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women." If Mary's community had given her leniency, Mary would have faced excommunication at the least. Alienation from a community would have pained her for the rest of her life. And she knew what she was facing. There is, however, a complete change in Mary's reaction between the time of Annunciation and the pregnancy. By the time Mary visited Elizabeth, Mary had Jesus in her womb. What we see in Mary's song, as we read this morning, is an entirely different attitude of Mary. "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." We don't see any trace of disturbance in our heart at all. "From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me." The fear of people despising her and treating her as an outcast was no longer visible in her praise. Her heart rejoiced because she now expected admiration from her community. What transformed her? The baby Jesus within her body. The two contrasting reactions of Mary before and after the Annunciation are similar to people's reaction to God's reign in their lives. Some people react with doubt and fear, as Mary did when she first heard the news. Others are open wide to welcome God's power and presence. Therefore, Christmas is not for everyone. Well, you may be surprised hearing this. It may sound confusing when I say Christmas is not for everyone. Yes, Jesus the Savior was born to save the world from sin and reconcile the world with God. But in actuality, people are divided into two groups, as happened on the first Christmas. Two groups with two completely different attitudes. One group willfully rejects the Savior, while other group receive Him. The praise of the heavenly host alludes to this reality as well. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. Look at this praise a little carefully. Do not be confused this praise as peace on every dweller of the earth. It actually means Christ's peace comes to those whose favor rests, a selective group of people. Upon whom does God's favor rest? Someone like Mary, who opened her heart to God's will and accepted Jesus into her body. You know, receiving Jesus into her body means complete acceptance of her Savior. What made Mary one of the respected saints in Christianity was that despite mounting problems, she made a choice to offer herself for God's use. This decision made all the difference. After Mary was conceived by the Holy Spirit, the Christ baby in her womb took full control over her spirit and her body. No longer troubled, she overflowed with praise. As it happened on the first Christmas, experiencing Christmas joy and peace is selective. We must voluntarily open our hearts and bodies so that Christ can come in and take control over our whole being. Oh, I don't want to, because my life is a mess. Or, I want to, but I am in so much trouble. I'm not in Christmas mood at all. Consider Mary. Mary was not in a Christmas mood either. Unprepared for the conception from every angle, but she made a decision to let it happen. Let me share a familiar Christmas story with you. Amid the horrors of the World War I, there occurred a unique truce when enemies behave like brothers. Christmas Eve in 1914 was all quiet on France's Western Front, from the English Channel to the Swiss Alps. Trenches came within 50 miles of Paris. The war was only 5 months old, and approximately 800,000 men had been wounded or killed. Every soldier wondered whether Christmas Day would bring another round of fighting and killing. But something happened. British soldiers raised Merry Christmas signs, and soon carols were heard from German and British trenches alike. Christmas dawned with unarmed soldiers leaving their trenches as officers of both sides tried unsuccessfully to stop their troops from meeting the enemy in the middle of no man's land for songs and conversations. Exchanging small gifts, mostly sweets and cigars, they passed Christmas Day peacefully along miles of the front. At one point, the British played soccer with the Germans, who won 3-2. In some places, the spontaneous truce continued the next day. Neither side willing to fire the first shot. Finally, the war resumed when fresh troops arrived, and the high command of both armies ordered that further informal understandings with the enemy would be punishable as treason. Celebrating Christmas in a fierce battleground was unthinkable. But on that particular part of the battlefront, enemy soldiers made a mutual agreement to celebrate Christmas. We may be facing a fierce battle in our lives right now. We may be puzzled by enormous challenges. We may not see any hint of joy in our life. But we can still celebrate Christmas by letting Christ come in and take control over our emotions, bodies, and circumstances. We may not be ready, but God is. God is ready to come in and fill our hearts and lives with joy and peace. Why do we not let God, as Mary did, and ask, Lord Jesus, we are your servant. Let it be with us just as you want. Come into our lives. Amen.